You're listening to SBS News.
Here's to the state of Richard Nixon. For underneath his borders, the devil draws no line.
It's August 1974, and America is a deeply divided country. It's divided over US policies in Southeast Asia, the economy is a mess, and politically, public opinion and a majority of the country's Congress has turned against its own president.
Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of.
That summer, everything has come to focus on Richard Nixon and what he did and didn't know about a break-in at the opposition Democratic Party headquarters at the Watergate complex in Washington.
This was an extraordinary moment. You'd had 2.5 years of open warfare. You just had expose after expose after expose. And after 2.5 years, it all came to a crescendo in the first week in August of 1974.
Some new details were reported today in the Democratic headquarters bugging investigation. We have a report from ABC's Bob Clark.
The shadowy trail of the Watergate caper veered closer to the White House today as it led once again to this motel across the street from Democratic headquarters where the celebrated bugging took place.
In August 1974, Tom DeFrank was a young White House correspondent working for Newsweek magazine.
The end of Richard Nixon really began on Monday, August 5th. When the White House released the transcripts of 3 tape recordings that Nixon had wanted to keep private, but the Supreme Court had unanimously ruled had to be made public. And those transcripts proved conclusively that Nixon had been lying when he said he had no role in any of this.
This was the Watergate scandal. The transcripts of those tapes showed that President Nixon had lied when he said he hadn't known about the break-in at the Democratic Party headquarters. If he didn't resign, he faced being impeached by Congress.
At noon on August the 8th, President Nixon's press secretary, Ron Ziegler, came to the podium for what turned out to be his final briefing, and it lasted less than a minute. And he basically said, tonight at 8 o'clock, President Nixon will address the nation from the Oval Office. Well, at that point, it was clear that Nixon was taking to the airwaves to resign.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
It was a surreal moment for me because I was watching this speech on a black and white television in the basement of the White House press room. Outside the White House, across the street in Lafayette Square, several thousand demonstrators had come to be there for the speech, and the television networks all had monitors set up in the square. These demonstrators were listening and watching the television monitor, so they saw Nixon in real time. And at that moment when Nixon said, I will resign the office of president tomorrow, this enormous roar came up from Lafayette Square. It came across the front lawn of the White House. It came through the windows of the White House briefing room, and I heard it in the basement of the briefing room. That's how loud this was. And I wondered at that point whether Richard Nixon himself might have heard it.
What was the public reaction to this?
I think the public, for the most part, was really glad to see him go. But more than anything else, they were relieved. I mean, you had to live in Washington in 1972, 73, 74 to realize just how toxic the environment was. You had people holding rallies saying, support our president, and you had other people demanding his impeachment.
He don't have to pay, and he's tapping his own brother just to hear what he would say. A corruption can be classic.